You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
That the rupee has been in a free fall, breaking well past the 72 mark, has been dominating headlines across the country. For reference, when we began 2018, it was around the 64 mark. Sure, it is no Argentinian peso, which by the way has depreciated over 98% year to date, but the rupee is still the worst performing currency in Asia and the sixth worst among the emerging markets. In year to date, the rupee has fallen by over 13%. Global trade war concerns, crises in emerging markets, rise in crude oil prices, the sudden attractiveness of the US economy with corporate tax cuts and increase in interest rates by the Federal Reserve have all been cited as reasons for the free fall here. The stock market took a hit here last week, but somewhat recovered a little bit after it was announced that the government would be holding a meeting over the weekend to discuss measures to curb the free fall. Alas, the outcomes have only made the stock market even more scared. The Sensex tanked over 500 points today and the Nifty gave up the 11,400 mark. Which outcomes from the meeting spooked the markets? Can the five-point strategy announced by the government curb the rupee's freefall? And what indeed are the impacts of the depreciating rupee on the economy and you and I?
Editor's pick of the day.
Will the government's five-step strategy to curb rupee freefall work?
News 18 reported that the government on Friday announced an array of steps, including removal of withholding tax on masala bonds, relaxation for foreign portfolio investors, and curbs on non-essential imports to contain the widening current account deficit and check the rupee fall. The decisions were taken at a meeting chaired by Prime Minister Narendra Modi to review the prevailing economic issues. RBI Governor Urjit Patel and top officials of the Finance Ministry briefed Prime Minister Modi on the health of the economy. These measures are likely to have an impact to the tune of $8 to $10 billion, a top finance ministry official went on to say. Briefing the media after the meeting, Finance Minister Arun Jaitley said the government has decided on five steps to contain CAD, which widened to 2.4% of the GDP in the first quarter of 2018-2019 due to the fall of the rupee. He said several issues were discussed during the meeting and decisions on those are likely in the next few days. The minister said that the external factors like policies adopted by the US, trade war and crude oil prices are impacting economies like India, despite quote-unquote strong fundamentals. However, there are some issues on which immediate action is needed, the minister went on to say while announcing the steps to increase inflow of foreign funds and check current account deficit. Just to quickly recap the five steps outlined, number one, review of mandatory currency hedging for infrastructure. Number two, easier rules for manufacturing entities to raise funds overseas. Number three, review of debt investment limits for FPIs. Number four, exemption from withholding tax for masala bonds. And number five, removal of restriction on Indian banks' market making of masala bonds. One of the steps discussed there, that is review of mandatory hedging condition for infrastructure loans, relates to ECB or external commercial borrowing. It has also been decided to permit manufacturing entities to avail ECB facility with minimum maturity of 1 year instead of the earlier limit of 3 years, Jaitley went on to say. Further, restrictions will be removed with respect to FPI exposure limit of 20% in corporate bond portfolio to a single corporate group or company or entity and 50% of any issue of corporate bond. In April, the Reserve Bank had imposed these restrictions on FPIs. With regards to rupee-denominated bonds, popularly known as masala bonds, Jaitley said it has been decided to do away with the withholding tax on bonds issued till March 2019. The current withholding tax is 5%. It is to be noted here that no masala bond has been issued so far in the current fiscal. Jaitley also informed that restrictions on Indian banks on marketing and underwriting of masala bonds would be removed. The finance minister further said that the government would restrict import of non-essential items and encourage exports. However, he did not disclose the list of non-essential items which would be subject to import restrictions. To address the issue of expanding CAD or current account deficit, the government will take necessary steps to cut down non-essential imports and increase exports. The commodities of which imports will be cut down will be decided, like I said earlier, after consultations with concerned ministries and will be WTO compliant, he went on to say. The restriction would also be imposed on private imports of such items, sources said, adding that the items have been identified. To a question on whether NRI bonds would be issued to stem the rupee fall, Jaitley refused to comment. Large trade deficit and rupee decline against the US dollar are putting pressure on the current account deficit, and these steps are likely to have a positive impact on the external sector, Jaitley said. Jaitley also said that the government gives importance to fiscal deficit and expressed hope it would be contained. Economic Affairs Secretary S.C. Garg said the five measures would definitely have a meaningful impact. It is difficult to give a specific number. I think it should have an impact of $8 to $10 billion, he went on to say. The rupee, meanwhile, touched an all-time low of 72.91 against the American dollar on the 12th of September, and it closed at 71.84. The domestic currency has declined around 6% since August and touched an all-time low of 7%. The fiscal deficit is currently placed at 3.3%, and Jaitley pledged to hold the line on the fiscal deficit, saying, and I quote, "Our growth rate is much higher compared to the global average. Inflation is within range." From the finance ministry side, the effort will be to maintain the fiscal deficit, and we are confident we'll be able to maintain fiscal deficit, he went on to add. Though the economy is strong, external factors were causing nervousness, he said, and that is true to an extent. The areas where we need to become strong are oil and rupee. We have to fight this challenge, he went on to add. India's current account deficit deteriorated to 1.9% of the GDP in FY18 from 0.6% in the year before, and is forecast to rise to around 2.8% in the current year. In 2013, when we saw a similar situation to what we're seeing right now, the Q1 FY14 CAD stood at a staggering 4.8%. In quarter 2 FY2018, the CAD stood at 1.1%. The trade deficit has widened to $80.4 billion in the first 5 months of the current fiscal from 67.8%. And now for the $8 to $10 billion question. Will these measures work? No, says an HDFC Bank report. The government's moves may not drive fund inflows and are a negative from a longer-term perspective as they increase short-term debt, goes on to say the report. It says, and I quote, "Considering that most of the measures aim at increasing short-term external debt or in effect worsen the risk profile of companies by increasing unhedged exposure, it could actually be considered negative," said one of the largest private sector lenders of the country, that is HDFC Bank. Increase in short-term external commercial borrowings or foreign institutional investor exposure could lead to further worsening of vulnerability ratios, and the global investors might actually take this negatively, it went on to warn. The measures include permitting manufacturing sector entities to avail ECBs up to $50 million with a minimum maturity of 1 year versus the earlier period of 3 years, removing caps on single group exposure for foreign investors, exemption from withholding tax for issuance of masala bond issues, and removing restrictions on Indian banks market making in masala bonds, like I said earlier. After announcement of the measures, reports had quoted government sources, including Economic Affairs Secretary Mr. Garg, as well as Jaitley, as saying that it will have an $8 to $10 billion positive impact through forex savings or increased flows. The note went on to say, these measures are better suited when the sentiment in the global market is positive towards emerging markets, and in general, when it is relatively easy for emerging market corporates to raise money abroad, unquote. It added that demand for masala bonds from offshore investors is generally driven by the stability of the rupee, and in an environment where the rupee is under pressure, foreign investors are unlikely. On the move to let corporates borrow from abroad, it said a lot would depend on how quickly and easily Indian corporates are able to garner additional short-term debt through ECBs or portfolio investments. The government measures will have a sentimental impact on the market, and the rupee trajectory might not see a full reversal of the appreciation move of the last couple of days, it went on to add. The report also warned that while we're set to achieve near-term fixes, any protectionist gestures have to be viewed with some caution by global investors, as it gives the impression of a reversal of reforms. We see this as a potential negative for the currency beyond the very near term, it went on to add. It also said that there could be additional measures which were supposed to be announced yesterday. It can be noted that there was no announcement yesterday. Meanwhile, foreign brokerage Nomura said that the measures underwhelm expectations and also signify policymakers moving from the first line of defense, which includes allowing currency depreciation, forex intervention, and positive comments, to the second line, which include measures to boost capital inflows, cut imports, and
editors. Pick of the day.
Will the government's five-step strategy to curb rupee freefall work?
Bhaskar Datta, professor of economics at Ashoka University, writing for The Hindu, went on to say, and I quote, "Perhaps the best option for the government would be to borrow from non-resident Indians, or NRIs, by floating special NRI bonds that have to be purchased with foreign exchange and with maturity periods of at least 3 years. Interest rates have to be attractive, and investors must, of course, be protected from exchange rate fluctuations. Since interest rates in countries like the UK and even the US are quite low, the promised interest rate does not really have to be very high by prevailing Indian levels. This has been tried before, the last time being in 2013, when too the rupee was under stress. It worked then, and there is no reason why it should not work again." Unquote. All we can say is, "Ghar aaja pardesi, tera desh bulaye re." Thank you for joining us.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.